We have two readings from God's Word. First one coming from the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. And the second one coming from John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. But before we read them, could I give a short word of testimony? I discover that I am now 66 years on the Christian pathway. And God has been there all through those 66 years. He has never failed. I've failed. I've not always done what I should have done. And I've often done what I shouldn't have done. But God has been gracious. And over 66 years, I have been upheld. So if you haven't reached 66 years yet, know this, God will be with you if and when you reach that stage. God is faithful. He never, ever deserts his children. Be encouraged. Let's read his word. This is one of the ways that we are built up in our faith. Each one of us requires to eat every day. If you don't eat every day, you're going to become weak. And your weakness will eventually give way to illness. And your illness, if not dealt with, will eventually lead to death. My friends, we need to read God's Word. And I'm going to give you a challenge before we even read God's Word. Read it every day. If you don't, decide right now to read God's Word every day of your life. It can be done. It takes a bit of discipline, but it can be done. Read God's Word. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones, planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. But now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold an outcry. And secondly, can we read from one of the most well-known chapters in the Bible, John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, He it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in me, you ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Amen, and may God add his blessing to these readings from his word. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that the way into your presence has been opened for us through the finished work of your Son on the cross. We thank you for that. And Lord, too, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word was available to us from our earliest days. We thank you for that. And Lord, tonight we would want to pray for those who as yet, I've never seen one page of the scriptures because nothing has been translated for them. And Father, we pray for many different organizations who are seeking to translate your word and make it available in yet another and another language. And Father, we pray that you would bless their efforts. We pray, Lord, that you would give them that linguistic accuracy required to do such a task. And Father, we pray that soon many, many more different language groups would have your word available to them so that they can understand it and hear your voice speaking to them through your word. And so, our Father, as we thank you for your word, we would pray for the spread of your word across the face of the earth. Lord, we know that there are many parts of our world where the gospel has not deeply penetrated. And Lord, we think of places that some of us know and many of us have read about, places where your word is resisted, where your children are persecuted, where some are even martyred. Father, we pray for your word and your work as it spreads. And we pray, Lord, for your children who often face persecution. Give them strength to stand, O Lord. Help them to be able to be witnesses for you wherever they are, no matter how difficult the situation they find themselves in. Bless them, encourage them, strengthen them. And where your word is available to them, give them an insatiable desire to read it, to understand it, to make it part and parcel of themselves. Lord, bless your work. Bless your workers. Call out more men and women to go out into the far-flung corners of the world to be witnesses for yourself. And Lord, too, we pray for the national church in so many different parts of the world. Raise up men and women and young people from those churches to see the need in their own communities, in their own countries, and to be willing to listen to your voice that commands them to go. And so, Father, we pray for the spread of the gospel, that it would soon cover the whole earth. As the waters cover the sea, may your word soon cover the whole face of the earth and be available for all who seek it. And so, our Father, we commend ourselves into your hand this evening. You know each one of us. You know our needs. You know the things that we stand most in need of. And Father, we pray that you would open our minds, open our understanding. Help us, Lord, to take in from your word what you want us to learn this evening, that we would leave this sanctuary better people than we were when we came in, because we have heard your voice speaking to us. So grant us listening ears, open hearts, open minds to hear what God the Lord will say to us, because we ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Can I take you on a little excursion before we look into God's Word? On the 18th of September, 1958, that was a long time ago, a car was proceeding between Fort Augustus and Fort William. The driver of that car observed a bus parked at the side of the road. And without slowing down much, he pulled out and overtook the bus. And as he was overtaking it, he saw why the bus had stopped. It was standing in front of and blocking his view of the gates of the Caledonian Canal. And the car hit the gates, burst them open, and that car fell down into 27 feet of black water. Black not because of the colour of the water, but because of the 27 foot high walls on the side of the canal. And the car fell down into the water, and all four occupants were drowned. That news was conveyed to me on the morning of that day. And had my uncle not been with me later on that morning, I would have committed suicide. You might think that's a dreadful thing to think, but put yourself in that position and you will understand why. And shortly afterwards, 3 months and 4 days to be exact, Jesus found me. And he saved me. And he brought me into a living relationship with him. That was 66 years ago. And you know something? We're still in love. The Christian pathway is a pathway that you cannot walk in your own strength. It can't be done. If you try, you will make a mess. But if you walk with Jesus as he wants you to walk, you will be enabled to walk. God is faithful. And I've proved over these last years, indeed we've proved over these last years, the years that we were in Burkina Faso, we proved that God is faithful. God promises, I will be with you. Our testimony is, He was with us, and He never left us. God is faithful. You can depend totally and absolutely on God. And I discovered over all these years that God is faithful, and we can depend totally on Him. I want us to look at this chapter, these verses in John 15, and we've got plenty of time, that's good. John 15 is a chapter that is very much one of my favourite chapters in the whole of the Bible, because it talks about something that is so simple that a child can understand it, and so profound that the theologians have never yet plumbed the full depths of it, nor will they in this period of time. There are things in the scriptures that go beyond our ken, way beyond our ken, that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to open our understanding so that we can understand God's word. We can understand the scriptures, and we can be built up in them. And I hope and I trust and I pray that you in your daily life never let a day go past without reading God's word. That is so important. We would never dream of spending a day without either our breakfast, our lunch, or our dinner. We wouldn't do that. We need, we want, we desire our physical food. We need it. But my friends, our spiritual being needs sustenance as well. And as we wouldn't dream of spending a day without eating, let's covenant with God not to spend a day without reading His word. Now I may be talking to those who are saying back to me, but that's what we do. Praise the Lord. Keep doing it. Never, ever stop it. Keep reading God's word. And as we look at the verses in this chapter, they are wonderful verses because the picture is of a vine. A vine. And branches that are grafted into the vine. And for a branch, if, for instance, a branch was lying on the ground in front of the vine, could it bear fruit? No, it couldn't, because it's not grafted in. But if a branch was leaning hard against the vine, could it bear fruit? No, it couldn't, because it's not joined, linked in, grafted into the vine. The only way a branch can bear fruit is to be grafted into the vine, because that way the life of the vine flows up out into the branch, and the branch does what? The branch bears fruit. And the Bible tells us that God is glorified by that fruit. So we should be bearing fruit. So I want to look at grafted in, how to be grafted into the vine, the effect of being grafted in, and the result of being grafted in. Grafted into the vine. How do I become grafted into the vine? Am I by nature already grafted into the vine? Was I grafted into the vine when I was born, or when I became a young person, or when I grew up into my 40s, my 50s, my 60s? Surely in my 80s I would be grafted in? No, I wouldn't, because it is not by human efforts. I am grafted into the vine because I have a Savior. I have a wonderful Savior. And there are many people in this gathering here this evening who would echo what I am saying, because in Christ we have a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And I was grafted into the vine a way back, as I mentioned, some 66 years ago. And to bear fruit, the branch must of necessity remain grafted into the vine. If the branch detaches itself for some reason, that branch will immediately stop bearing fruit. Let me carry that through into our lives. The way we grow is by spending time in God's Word. The way we grow is by digging into God's Word and allowing God's Word to dig into us. Because it's a twofold process. I dig in with the help of God's Holy Spirit, and He applies that Word to my life. And I grow because this is my spiritual food. God's Word. As I am grafted into Christ, His life flows into and through me. And that way, fruit is born. I do not bear fruit by my own efforts. It is as I abide in Christ. I can't produce good fruit on my own. You'll notice how I qualified the fruit. I said good fruit, because I'm very good at producing bad fruit. And I suspect that many of us would have to say the same thing. We all too often do not do what we should do, but even worse, do what we shouldn't do. We are weak, but God's Holy Spirit has been given to us, and God's Holy Spirit enables us to stand. And even after 66 years in the Christian pathway, I know I don't stand by my own strength. Even after 66 years, you would think that a person would be able to stand in their faith solidly because of having spent so many years. But no. I daily depend on Jesus. I daily depend on His Word. God gives us these wonderful means whereby we can grow in our Christian faith. And when we come to God's house, we enjoy fellowship with God's people. I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but I'm certain I'm not, I think, that there are no two people here this evening who were born again on the same day. Now, you can't prove that, and I can't disprove that, so we'll leave it at that. But God breaks into our lives, and so often it is through reading His Word. You would think that after reading God's Word for 66 years, there isn't much more to learn. Oh, there is. I haven't begun to scratch the surface, and everything else is underneath the surface. And I know that however long I have left in this world, I will never, ever understand everything that there is to understand in Scripture. One day I will, but that will be in His presence. One day we will leave this scene of time. You don't know when. I don't know when. We don't know how. You know that when I was 17, I was working in the post office in Inverness. My brother also worked in the post office in Inverness. And he had a hired car, and he was taking my parents and my auntie visiting different places in Scotland. And I tried to twist my boss's arm to let me be on holiday with them. And because he said no, I am here tonight. Isn't it amazing? That man was not a Christian. In fact, he was a very staunch Freemason. And we had quite a number of interesting discussions on that level. But because of him saying no, I'm here tonight. Sometimes God says no to us. When we want to go on a path that, rather than leading us walking with the Lord, would lead us into bypath meadow. Sometimes God has got to stop us. And sometimes God says no. And how do we know? It's as we remain grafted into the vine. Because the branch that is grafted into the vine partakes of the life of the vine. And so, grafted into the vine, knowing the sap of the vine flowing through, the fruit begins to appear. We are brought to life by being united to Christ. Coming to church every Sunday, doing good works, helping the poor, sending money to speed the work of the gospel around the world, doing all sorts of good things, will not get you into heaven. The only way anyone can get into heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me, except through me. He is the way. He is the only way. There is no other way. Have you, my friend, discovered that way? That way is available for everybody. How do I know that? Because of a verse in John's Gospel that said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and this word I love it, whosoever. Do you know who that means? It means you. It means the person sitting behind you, in front of you, to both sides of you. It means everybody, whosoever will, may come, but not everybody will come. There will be those who will adamantly refuse. There will be those who will say, I know a better way. But Scripture stands true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I must hurry on. What is the effect of being grafted into the vine? If we look at it from our own personal point of view, looking at a vine, the vine with the branches grafted into it is a beautiful picture to see. To see the branches laden with fruit. How does that come about? Because the branches are linked into the vine. And my friend, as you and I are linked into the Lord Jesus Christ, fruit will be born in our lives as well. But it will not be fruit that comes by my efforts. But it will be fruit that comes by my, and take this in please, my abiding in Christ. What I can't do, he will do for me. Sometimes, and all too often, we think, even as Christians, we can go it alone. We can do things on our own. And generally the effect is, if I do it on my own, it's a failure. It mucks up. It doesn't work. But if I do what God challenges me to do, and with Him leading me, fruit does appear. And I can think in our garden that we had in Burkina Faso, we had several mango trees. Now, I don't know if you like mangoes, but hey, you can buy them in Morrison's. You can get them in Tesco's. They're available, not on the tree, but on the display. And to see a mango tree laden with fruit, its branches almost groaning with the weight. It's lovely to see. It's really, really nice to see. That's what God wants with you and with me. That we will bear fruit in our lives. Because that is how God is glorified. It tells us here in verse 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified. What? That you bear much fruit. God is glorified as I bear fruit. And the more fruit I bear, the more God is glorified. Because the fruit is not of my own doing. I can't bear that kind of fruit. That fruit appears by the work of God's Holy Spirit in my life. The effect of being grafted in is that fruit appears. What is this fruit? And one of the choicest pieces of fruit is my love for Jesus. Do you love Jesus? I can tell you, Jesus loves you very much. A growing love for God's Word. You know, if you love the Scriptures, you will not let a day pass without opening them and reading them. If you don't love the Scriptures, then it may well be that you will allow a day to pass, or a week to pass, and only open the Scripture when you come to church on Sunday. That is starving your spiritual appetite. You need to read, you need to meditate, you need to dig into God's Word and allow God's Word to dig into you. And sometimes that can be a very unpleasant thing when God speaks to you and maybe rebukes you for something that you're doing. God's Word is not important, it's vital. And that's a stage beyond important. We neglect God's Word at our peril. And I would encourage you to read and meditate on God's Word. And if you don't do it on a daily basis, I challenge you to start. Because you won't regret it. But you will be encouraged because God's Word brings forth fruit in our lives. Another fruit that appears by abiding in Christ is a desire to share God's Word with other people. To share God's Word with people who don't know the Lord. To share God's Word with people who have never heard the Gospel. And sometimes that can lead you into very difficult, awkward, sometimes dangerous situations. Situations which maybe you wouldn't want to be in on your own. But God leads you to speak to so-and-so. You may feel frightened. You probably will feel frightened. And I can tell you that if you do feel frightened, you will depend more on the Lord. If you think you can do it on your own, forget it. Trust God. Ask the Lord to give you that help. And that fruit will appear, that growing desire to share your Savior with other people. Man's chief end, our catechism tells us, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Who do you most enjoy being with? Those of us who are married need to take care here. But do you enjoy being with Jesus? Do you enjoy having your Bible open on your knee and asking God to speak to you through it? This word is a wonderful word, and I would challenge you to read it every day. If you haven't done that, then I challenge you to start, because you will not regret it. Walking daily with the Lord. Not just on Sunday. It's good, it's great to walk with the Lord on Sunday. But we should do that on Monday as well. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Every day of the week, we should walk with the Lord, because He wants to walk with us. Why would I turn my back on my Savior if He wants to walk with me and I say, no, maybe tomorrow? My friends, open God's Word every day and let it minister into your heart. It will bear fruit in your life, and that fruit will glorify God as we remain grafted into the vine. Because grafted into the vine means that the branch is inseparably linked to the vine. And the branch receives the life of the vine flowing into it. And as the life of the vine flows in, something happens in the branch. And the bud appears. The blossom appears. The fruit appears. And that is what glorifies God. My Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. This chapter is fascinating because it talks about, in verse 2, about bearing fruit. And at the end of that same verse, it talks about bearing more fruit. And then in verse 8, it talks about bearing much fruit. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Where am I? Am I at the fruit, the more fruit, or the much fruit? I know where God wants me to be. That is that where I am. And I will never be there if I neglect this wonderful word that God has given to us. Read God's word. The result of being grafted in, fruit appears. Fruit that glorifies God. What does the catechism say? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. I thank the Lord that as a young person, before my teens in primary school, I had a teacher who took us into the catechism every day. That was wonderful. I didn't think it at the time. But as I think back on it, there are things come into my mind and I think, where did that come from? And then I realize it's come from the catechism. But how do I remember that? I'm 82. You have to go back an awful long way to discover when my teacher was teaching me the catechism. It was a long, long time ago. But it's still there. It's sunk in. It's become part and parcel of this somewhat at times muddled up brain of mine. But God's word is there, and mixed in and through it, you find the catechism as well. The joy of being grafted in is that I enjoy the life of the vine flowing into my life. And what do I have to do? One word. Yes, I heard it. Abide. I've got to rest in the Lord. It's not my trying to do this and trying to do that, but it's my resting in the Lord. Do I do that? If I do, I certainly don't do it enough. And I'm sure that would be your testimony as well. Abiding in Christ, allowing His life to flow into my life, but it goes beyond that because it flows through my life and out to meet the needs of other people. Why do people respond to God's call, whether it's to go into the ministry or into missionary work? What causes them to go forward? It's because they've heard the voice of God challenging them to take His word and to share it with other people. That's what we need to do, each one of us. And I know that after 66 years, it's still difficult. If I were to ask our minister how easy it is to prepare a Sunday morning service, I think I know the answer I would get from him. It's never easy, but that is, it's our study, it's our digging into God's word. What I've said several times already, and I say it again, it's not just digging into the word, but allowing the word to dig into me. Because that's vitally important. That God's word digs into me. Let me close with a simple illustration, drawn, of course, from Africa. And there was this man went to visit a village which, in his understanding, had never heard the gospel before. And he went and he preached God's word. And after preaching God's word, he sat down beside this man. And over at the side, there was a great big pot, steaming. And the missionary said to the man, "Do you agree with what I said? Do you accept what I said?" And the man said to him, "If I didn't agree with what you said, you would be in that pot." You see, the gospel changes people. We met people in Africa who had very colourful backgrounds. But you know, when the gospel came in, they became new people, new creatures in Christ. So did you. When you came to Christ, the old went away. Oh, it keeps trying to come back. But the old went away and the new came in. And the new that came in was of Christ. My friends, He's a wonderful Savior. He's held me for 66 years. I know He will hold me to the end. And He wants to hold you as well. But you have to say yes. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your Son who came and died on that cruel cross of Calvary. And thank You, Lord, that through Your dying on the cross, I, by faith, can know the joy of sins forgiven, of new life in Christ, of being able to walk with you day by day because of what you have done in my life. And Lord, we commit each person in this sanctuary into your hand. You know each one of us. You know our thoughts, our desires. You know our problems, our difficulties. You know the things that we would rather were otherwise. Father, we thank you that your love can eclipse every one of these things. Your love can come into our hearts and make us new creatures in Christ. And Father, we pray that if there are any who still don't know this intimate walk and fellowship with you, we pray that your word would break in and they would begin to see that God loves even them. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. And we thank you for all that you've accomplished on our behalf. Help us, Lord, if we have never done so, to close in with your offer of mercy in the gospel. We ask it in the precious and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.